And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. That is my own portion. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have feed his belly with his husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to eat and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth quickly the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. We all know the story. I stop there. So this evening, we'll be looking at the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to learn some things from him. The good ones, though. Who was the prodigal son? So let's see some of his good attributes. In verse 11 of the scripture we read, they said he's a son, so he knew his identity, right? He's a son. He wasn't a slave. He wasn't a servant. He's a son. And verse 12 said he knew his right, so he asked for his own portion. He had confidence in his ability, because he walked up to his father and said, give me, let me have these things. I want to be on my own. He's a risk taker. And the scripture makes us to understand in verse 13 that he prepared, after several days, he prepared, then he embarked on his own journey. That is the identity of the prodigal son. Verse 12 said, because he knew himself, he knew who he was. And let's look that to see our lives as individuals. Who are we? Most often, we Christians don't know our own identity. We can't come before God in all boldness because we are not sure of who we are. And that's where it started from. He knew that he was the son of that man. He knows his identity. He didn't come to him as a slave. He didn't come to him as a nobody. So he knew his right in his father's house, and he knew exactly who he was. The Bible said to us, we are gods and sons of the Most High. In Psalm 86, verse 6. And he said that he's born of the Spirit, is spirit, not spiritual. So first, he knew his identity, that he is the son of that man. He knew that he has right in his father's, in quote, kingdom. He knew that he has right to portion in whatever the father has. He understands who his place in his father's house. You know, some parts of the world, like in Yoruba land, I learned that when the father passed, they used to share properties among the children. In our own side, we don't share properties. When the father passes on, all the property goes to the first son. Everything. So if you come and you want to be a second wife or a third wife, it does not matter. You have nothing. So everything goes to the first son. It is the first son that will decide if he will give to anything to his or her sibling. And if he so choose not to, you can't force your way through. It belongs to him. But this boy knows who he was, and he knows that he has right to a portion of whatever his father has. And he said, bequeath mine to me. So we must know that our identity before God is more than our look. Our identity is more than what we have or the qualification we have. Our identity has been bought by the blood of the lamb. So we are his children. We are not slaves, we are not servants. So we have that same right. Number one, two lessons I want us to learn from the prodigal son was that he believes he's in his own ability. We talk about the failure, no doubt. That is what we all know, that one. So he believes in his own ability. He knew it takes a level of you being sure of yourself before you can walk up to a father and say, give me. He must have worked with his father for years. He must have understood everything about that business, in quote. So he was too sure that he can't fail. He was too sure that, no, I want to venture into this field. I can handle it my own. So he was too sure of his identity, one, and he was too sure of his ability. He took his inheritance and he left with it. Though the Bible makes us understand that he spent it lavishly on prodigal things, but the truth is that he took it, he had confidence in his ability. Maybe he has a master's or a PhD in business management. And he has done internship with his father. So he's skilled. Just like Goliath. The Bible said Goliath, true Goliath, he has won many battles for the Philistines. So Goliath have the skill. He has the ability. He was not just a soldier. He has experience. He has been tested and proven that he is sure. And David also was not just an ordinary man. He has also mastered his own sling. So he was also skilled. He was also skilled. So if David was to approach to fight Goliath with his own skill and Goliath's skill and experience, there's no way he would have won. So sometimes our skill, our knowledge, our expertise has limits. For the son to walk up to his father and demand that, come, give me this thing, you can be sure that he was too sure that he cannot be Harvard trained, Oxford trained, PhD, MBA, this, and fail. He was too sure. And the father also knew that this boy has the skill. How did I know that? If my son drives, If he should meet me and say, Daddy, give me the car, I want to go to Lagos, I will be a fool to give him. Because I know that he can't get to Lagos now at his age with the car. He can only drive in the neighborhood. For the father to give him, he knew this boy was killed. This boy has paid his dues. So he knew. The father didn't just share and say, take. No. You don't share and give to babies. You share and give to son. So you know that this is a son. He has paid his dues. He's mature. He can handle this thing. So the father shared it and gave to him. So the ability was there. Just as Goliath had the right ability. One of our pastors shared here, in time past, that he attended an interview when he was young, and he was too ready, too sure, too confident that, no, I will, whatever, let the question come from anywhere. He was too sure. And he got to the interview. And the first question they asked, everything vanished. Everything vanished. They asked another one, nothing. In fact, the third one, he was embarrassed, and they said, are you sure you really studied, did this course? Because he had so much, do you think somebody to prepare and attend the interview, he was not prepared? He was. He know he has the required skill. But our strength will fail us. If that is all we have. That was the difference between Goliath and David. When Goliath was talking, David said, I am coming to you. Not just with the slings you are seeing, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whom you have defied. So he was coming with something Goliath was not seeing. Goliath was looking at that boy and the skillful ability of his. But he was carrying something bigger. He was carrying his God along. Praise the Lord. We've talked about his identity, faith in his identity. He has faith and confidence in his skill. But where he missed it, he was not having faith in his God. He was just I, just like Goliath. So he left. And young David messed him up. Sorry. Young David disgraced him. He also went with his qualifications, his experience. He has studied under the best of them all. Just as sometimes we carry this same knowledge of, we have read so many books on marriage, so we know it all. We don't need God anymore. I've read a professor in marriage psychology that was married 4 times and has divorced 4 times. And as at the time I was reading, he had no wife. Because it's not a matter of just the skill. We all need God factor. The prodigal son had all the qualifications, had all the ability, had all the years of experience of mentorship under his father, but he missed it. There was a God factor that he neglected. And we all know how he ended. Faith in your heavenly father, that's the third point. His faith in his father only came when he came to his senses. So, from the beginning when he gave me this, give me the auntie, he came to his senses after he has suffered. He did not remember the dad. Faith in his father came only when he came to his senses. And how can you come to your senses It is only with a clean heart and a renewed spirit. The prodigal son realized that and came to his senses and turned back to his father. No matter that challenge, no matter the situation we are, we must have done it in our own way. You must have tried all the business skills you've been taught. You must have gone for extra courses and learned more. But when the God factor is missing there, you may be born again, but if you didn't invite him, he will not come. Sometimes I do this a lot. When I have maybe one or two challenges, I be cracking my head. I be telling my wife, come, let's do this, can't you see this? But most often I've noticed she's not always interested. She's not interested in my own calculation on getting the thing done. She's not just interested. I studied accounting, so I always calculate to the last figure. But when I bring it to her, sometimes I will even send it to her on our WhatsApp page. She will not even, 99% she will not respond. By the time I say, didn't you see this? He will say, yes, I saw it, that there's no need to check. And I say, no, can't you see and just check through? And he said, there's no need. That I rather look at God, that God is able, rather than look at your calculation, how it can't work. And 99% of the time, she always gets it right. Because my own calculation will always fail. But to detach my head, that faith life, it's almost impossible for many men, in quote. But I believe more grace is available for the female, for the women folks to handle such. But I've tried, but I will still do calculation. Every month I must do calculation. But she will always, every month, she keeps neglecting the calculation and believing in God that it will work. And it always works. After repentance, the prodigal son had a new spirit. He believed his father's large heart. Look at how he suffered and suffered and suffered. He did not get it right until repented, got a new spirit. It was then he now believed that his father has a large heart. He now believed that his father has a forgiving spirit. He now believed that there's a second chance. He now starts explaining more about the same father he left. That, even if I should go back and stay with this my father, I am sure my condition will not be as worse. Even servants. Sometimes we get to that level before we realize how far we have taken burdens that are not supposed to be ours on ourselves. We've toyed. We've struggled. And we are born again. But in the true sense, most often we hardly invite God to that our ship. We are so reliant on our own ability to work it out. But we must have faith in God, knowing fully well that no matter how we try, no matter our strength, no matter our skill, our knowledge, God is still God and is the difference in our life, most especially if we are his children, if we are born again children of God. It does not matter what we are passing through, he remains God and he changeth not. I've shared the experience we had when my boy was to enter the university. And my own, I've shared it, but my own, the little boy had faith that God can make this thing work. I, the father, I was busy calculating. And I was calculating that how can I raise 4 million naira for one child per year? I was busy calculating how, and I was giving reasons how it was impossible. Even when they asked me to pay 50%, and 50% with other charges, I'll be paying 2.5 million. Where will I get 2.5 million? And I fought the mother for that. Because the mother, when they were picking the course and the school, I already said, don't pick it. And my wife said, God will do it. I said, no, don't pick it. Don't, you know, it was a serious thing. And they went ahead. My wife has one kind of faith, so may God, I pray that God give me just a little of it. That is just the truth. I fought her. She's seated. I said, don't pick it. Okay, when you get, and I said, okay, don't pick medicine. Maybe you pick nursing. Or maybe you pick medical lab science. At least that fee, I have calculated it. And that is like 2 million. If they give me 50%, that is like 1 million per year. I will be able to, you know, that was my, so I was encouraging them, okay, why not pick this? Why not pick this? And they, you know, and he went ahead and picked it. And I tried to encourage the boy that pick another one after even the admission process started. He said, no, it is this one or nothing. I know that it was with the support of the mother. And it continued that way. And I had no choice but to tell him that, okay, my own effort, I can do nothing. Let us just pray. And let us keep trusting. Let's believe that God will do something. And we started fasting at the beginning of the year, last year. We started fasting. And he said, Daddy, when are we going to stop fasting? I said, I don't know. When, I said, you are the one, it is you. When you have the inner peace that we've fasted through, you stop. I said, for now, we are not doing 3 days, we are not doing 7 days, we are not doing 14 days, we are not doing 21 days. If it takes 6 months, let us just keep fasting. We will know when to stop. And the boy that I've never really, I don't really think he has really fasted any serious thing, and joined me, and we started fasting, or I joined him. And when I come from office, we kneel down by my bedside because we come before my wife and we pray, we break, and we're doing it continuously. One day, I took him, I was going to see my optician, and as we were approaching the Ajoyo, he told me, he said, Dad, this costs or nothing, but I'm thinking that I want to go and retake JAMB and pick a school you can afford. I didn't see anything. You know, that moment for a father, I was seeing myself as a failure. You know, I got so sad that moment that I didn't see anything. Ah! And I went to see the optician. I parked, he was in the car, and I was going upstairs. God will always show up when your strength has failed. As I was climbing upstairs, I got here, I sat down in the lobby waiting for the optician, and a message came into my phone. Tell the young doctor to pick up the form, from the owner of the university on full scholarship. I checked the source of the message. He already called him the young doctor. I sent it to my wife. I ran downstairs to the boy. I said, read it yourself. Because there's somebody we are not seeing that is in that race with us. If only we give that person a chance, it's God. He will not force himself. Since that day, I noticed something in the boy. He now believed God himself. He knew that I can't do it, and I did not do it. And we did the processing, everything, and it was paid in full. in full. What God cannot do does not exist. Praise the Lord. I don't know if there's someone that is going through a challenge at this point in time. There are things I've done all I could. I've done all I could. God is standing by until we give him the chance. If you keep depending on your own skill, your own ability, your own knowledge, who you know, you may never get it right. A couple of years back, again, let me share a short story. My house got burnt. My house. In my young life, I passed through some serious stuff. Serious stuff. My whole house got burnt. I was lucky to come out alive with my wife. In fact, my wife came out with a night gown. I came out with a boxer. Everything got burnt. I mean everything, including our certificates. And hey, we prayed though. We prayed. You know, Yoruba used to say, Yaoje Oni Ogbon. Tani teacher. They used to say, for those that didn't understand Yoruba, you have not suffered and you say you are wise. Who is your teacher? We prayed. And as at then, we knew nobody. Maybe if it's now, God forgive that thing, I will run to my reverend. I will run to Daramola. I will run to them. I need help. But as at that time, he said that God should do it or nothing. In fact, we slept in a friend's sitting room floor for close to 3 months on the floor. We put wrapper down and we lie there. My parents were in Ibadan though. And my father called me and said, David, come home. The room you left to go and marry is still available. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, if you were in the village in Edo, will I pack my kids, my wife, and come to the village and tell you that fire is, I had a misfortune, so I'm back to the village. I said, will I do that? If I do that, I relocate from Ibadan to the village in Edo State just because of this, you will call me a failure. I said, no. If God did not do it, then I'd rather remain. We prayed, and we know we prayed. God gave me a kind of speed that in a year after, one day I was praying, God, I must recover all. I must recover all. And the Holy Spirit told me, what are you recovering? Which all? Because I've already recovered all and more. So what were you recovering? I'm telling you, in 1 year, everything turned. But God will not come if he's not invited, though. He will not come. Look at the prodigal son. If that guy like, let him suffer to eternity there. He will die there. Why his father is waiting for him to come? He will die there. Yet he's a son of, in quote, a king. He's a born again. He has repented. But if he didn't take step, he will die there. You think that marriage situation will solve itself? You think you can find your spouse yourself? If it's a business, you think that business challenge will just go? God can stand by you, knocking. If you didn't open the door, he will not force himself. No matter the situation, no matter the challenge, you must have faith that there's a thought force that is operating in your life. And that thought force, you must welcome it. When the prodigal son had a rethink, he went back to the father. And we found out that the father was already waiting. I used to say something. I said, "Oko fiya jara jara elason." He just suffered for nothing. The father was already waiting. Because the father believed that he will come back. And that is my fourth point. The father must have faith in you that no matter what, you will come. I have a little girl there. My little girl, we are quite close. Sometimes I will discipline her. She will say she's not my friend again. She will go. She will say, "No, you don't like, she doesn't want anything from me again. I should not do it." She will go. I will tell the mother that, give her a few minutes, she's coming. That is the faith I have that she will come back. And truly, after this, she will go, and then she may bring me pure water and say, "Would I drink pure water?" I say, "She's coming back. She's coming back." When she takes small bubble, she will drink small, even though she will want to give it to me to make peace. But before she's even doing that, I already know, is it not my child? She's coming back. The father already knows that no matter what you are going through, as his child, he's waiting. He knows that you will come back. You will come back. No matter that challenge you are passing through, he knows that you are coming back. He's our father. So I don't know what you must have passed through over the course of this year, over the past couple of weeks. The father already knows and is waiting. And we've learned from this passage this evening. Sometimes we think we are close to the father, but we are not. And when we are outside God, then we are not in our right senses. You wonder why the Bible says he came to his senses. When we operate outside God, we are not in our right senses. So the prodigal son did not seek his father's guidance. He has studied over his father's mentorship, but when he stepped out, if he was still coming to meet that his father, said, "Daddy, this business, I did it, it's not working. How will I?" Do you think the father will not help out? He will. If you seek counsel by coming back to the father every now and then and say, "Daddy, I know that I have taken my inheritance, I've set up my own business, but this thing, how is it working?" The daddy will put him through. The daddy will now tell him that, "See, the secret behind this is my relationship with God." He thought it was just the calculations, the everything that brought his father there. The father would have now counseled him right. But he left. Because he believed solely in his own ability. Forgetting that the arm of flesh can only take you a short distance. And in verse 15, the Bible said that he started looking for man for solution. When you start looking for man for the solution instead of God, you are telling God to hold on. Bishop Oyedepo once said, I just heard it in his preaching, that he was praying one day and God said, "Can you look up and gaze unto me? And use one eye to look up and look down." And he said he tried to look, use one eye to look up and down. He said, "Ah, God, it's not possible." He said, "No." He said, "Yes, it's not possible. Whenever you are trusting in me, you can also be looking unto man. If you are looking unto man, you can't look up to me." Most often, we claim we are looking unto God, but we are also looking at who will I meet next? If you want to look up to God, look up to him, up unto him. And if you want to look unto man, meet man, put God aside. And know that it's your own choice. The Father is always waiting. In every situation and circumstance in our life, he's always waiting. In your home, in our business, in our career, in every decision, is always waiting. This evening, that yoke is too heavy for one man to carry. The yoke is too heavy for you to say, I want to run my life myself. The challenges you are facing is not yours. Bring it to him. Let God have that confidence, that belief, that faith, that no, you are coming back and will not fail him in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.